Pastor Choi, Pastor Simon Choi, our first pastor who helped start Northwest, went to be with the Lord this past Friday. So please pray for Mrs. Choi and Samson and Nathan as they say goodbye. Because of COVID, it will probably be a small service. So we appreciate Pastor Choi because he was a good and faithful servant. You know, not too long ago, our society was an agrarian society. That means our society was a farming and ranching society. And people would invest in seed and in livestock so that it would grow and reproduce and provide for their families. Today, we operate out of currency. So now we invest in real estate, stocks, and gold. So it will grow and reproduce and provide for our families. Well, Jesus calls us to invest in the kingdom of heaven. How do we do this? How do we invest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, we do so by investing in people so that they'll grow spiritually and reproduce and build up the kingdom of heaven. See, you can invest in material wealth, but remember, the only thing going to heaven is people. Isn't that interesting? The only thing going to heaven is people that have trusted in Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And so, how do we invest in the kingdom of heaven? By making disciples. And the goal of our Christian life is making disciples. God's plan for sustaining and growing the church and reproducing the church is by making the disciples. Matthew 28:18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." A disciple is one who has committed their life to Christ, and this is symbolized by water baptism, and is obedient to all that Jesus commanded. They are followers of Jesus Christ. And so making disciples is God's plan to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. The word discipleship or mentoring and coaching all mean the same thing. And so today we know we're talking about discipleship and mentoring this month of August. We're talking about this idea and encouraging people to become disciples and to be mentors. And so let's kind of use the word mentor today. What is a mentor? When I think of this question, the first word that comes to my mind is an encourager. A mentor is primarily an encourager. A mentor encourages others to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was instructed to mentor Joshua so that he could take Moses' future place in the future. Deuteronomy 3:28, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people, this people, across, and you will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. Encourage and strengthen Joshua. Mentor him so that he can lead the people across and they can inherit the land that God gave them. The key words in this passage are encourage and strengthen. That means, Moses, you build up Joshua's confidence, his courage and commitment, and his compassion for the people so that they can do God's work, so they can inherit the land and spread his word. So one way we disciple people, one reason we disciple people, is to help them become leaders. Joshua is supposed to become a leader. When we disciple people, I do so in hopes that they one day will teach a Bible study, or maybe they'll lead a ministry or service ministry. I hope that they will lead people to Christ. But we also disciple people to help them to remain faithful to the Lord. We see this in Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so we encourage people so that they will sin less and serve God more. We encourage people to help them overcome their sin so they're not deceived by sin, and we encourage them to serve God more. Now the question is, who does God call to be a mentor? Who does God call to disciple another person? Most people think, well, I can't do it because I am not special? You know, does God call extraordinary people, or does God call ordinary people to disciple others? Now, we know that the Bible is full of extraordinary people like Moses and Joshua and David. They led and discipled other people. But God calls many more ordinary people to do his work. He calls ordinary people to disciple other people. One of my favorite persons in the Bible is Barnabas. He was not an apostle. He was not one of the original seven disciples. He wasn't even original seven deacons. He was not even a deacon. But yet Barnabas made a tremendous impact in the church by being himself. How did he do it? Barnabas made disciples. And we know of at least two key disciples that Barnabas made. Two key disciples that Barnabas made. Acts 4:36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. You know, people were hungry, people were starving. And so Barnabas, his name is Joseph, his Jewish name is Joseph, and he was a Levite from Cyprus. That means he was a Hellenistic Jew. He was a Jewish person that grew up in the Roman Empire. He didn't grow up in the land of Israel. And so he heard that there was a need in the church. People were hungry. Widows and orphans needed to be cared for. So he sold the field that he owned. He brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet to help these people. And when I see this verse, if you understand the background, you realize what a generous person he was. See, that field was probably part of his family inheritance. That field was probably owned by the family since the promised land, when Joshua divided the land. That field, if you're a good Jewish person, you keep that field in your family for the rest of your life. That's a symbol of your inheritance, but yet he sold it and he gave the money to the people. What a tremendous sacrifice. I think Barnabas realized, because Jesus is a new covenant, it released him from the bondage of that field, and he can serve God freely. So the apostles called him Barnabas, son of encouragement. When I think of the word encouragement, I think this phrase, encouragement means to give strength or to give courage to another person. You know, we talked this morning in our Sunday morning Bible study about spiritual gifts and who has it and who doesn't, and everyone's given a spiritual gift. Guess what? Encouragement is not a spiritual gift. Being an encourager is a choice. You can make this choice to encourage one another. And so a mentor is an encourager. A mentor is also a supporter. Now we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul today. But the Apostle Paul, before he's known as the Apostle Paul, was known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul is his Jewish name, and Paul is his Roman name. And he persecuted Christians, and he pursued Christians until he was confronted by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. There he committed his life to follow Jesus. And so he became a passionate preacher of the gospel. And he tried to preach in Damascus where he was, but he was forced to leave. And then he came to Jerusalem. And it says that he came to Jerusalem in Acts 9:26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the other disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. They remember Paul, the persecutor, the Paul who stood there and supported the murder of Stephen. But in verse 27, but Barnabas, you know, the son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with him and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So Saul tried to preach the word, but everybody wanted to kill him. Every time he tried to preach, people wanted to kill him. So the disciples just sent him home to Tarsus. See, at this point, he is Saul of Tarsus. He is not the Apostle Paul. But see, when he came to Jerusalem, when he wanted to try to join the disciples, no one supported him. Only Barnabas came and stood up for Saul. And isn't that what we do as disciples or as mentors? We stand up and support people. We have to let them have a chance to serve the Lord. And even though they don't do it the right way, even though they don't do it well, it's a learning process. We stand by them. We support them. And Barnabas came and supported Saul in his desire to join the disciples and to preach the gospels. Mentors are supporters. They help to lift the disciple up to new heights. They help to lift up disciples when they fall down. They help to lift up disciples when they are discouraged. So if you want to be a disciple or a mentor, you need to be an encourager and a supporter. The third thing you need to do is a mentor is a believer. What do I mean by a mentor is a believer? Yes, they should believe in Jesus. There's no doubt about that. Not only should they believe in Jesus, they should be passionate about believing in Jesus. But they also must believe in people. And that's what I mean by believer. A disciple must be passionate about believing in people and their God-given potential. A lot of people struggle in life because no one believes in them. Isn't that sad? No one believes in them, so they struggle in life. They don't know where they're going or why. The goal of a mentor is to help people understand that God believes in them and that they believe in them and that they are God's workmanship created to do good works. And so the mentor helps the disciple discover what good works God wants them to be. You know, when you mentor someone, it's like raising spiritual children. And some of those children will grow up and make you proud. They'll become mature Christians. But some of those that you mentor will disappoint you and fall away. Some will never reach their spiritual potential. But that's okay. Your job is just to be faithful and to be a discipler. God calls you simply to be faithful and do your best. So Barnabas believed in Saul. And so Saul began preaching fearlessly in the name of Jesus. But the Greek Jews who opposed him threatened his life. And so he was sent home to Tarsus for his own potential. If you think about this, this man, Paul, Saul, who was called by Jesus to preach to the Gentiles, to be God's workman, was a failure, okay? He was a failure. All he did was preach. People wanted to kill him. He went home to Tarsus. So let's talk about now how to be a mentor. We're going to look again at Barnabas, Acts 11:22. When persecution broke out against the believers, many of the believers went home. And as they went home throughout the Roman Empire, they started sharing the gospel. And a group of people went to Antioch, and the church at Antioch was growing. It grew so fast that it caught the attention of the Jewish church. And here we see in verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. This church was exploding, but they had no teachers. So they sent Barnabas to check it out. Verse 23, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Look how Barnabas is described, a good person, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Doesn't that sound like you? Many of you meet that description. The only thing you have to be is faithful and willing to go and encourage others. And so now we're going to take a look at four things that Barnabas did to disciple and mentor Saul. And in doing so, he built up the church and strengthened the church. The first thing he did was we need to seek out someone to encourage. You cannot be a discipler without a disciplee. You can't be a mentor without having someone to mentor. We need someone to mentor. So Barnabas realized that the work was too great in Antioch. So he needed help. And so he decided to go look for someone to help him. Many of you have told me, or many of you have said, I'm tired of serving in my ministry. It's too much work. Well, that's how Barnabas felt. And so my advice to you is to get some help. Let's talk. Let's see what help we can get you. And that means you can mentor someone. You can train someone and show them what you do and how to do it. You can give someone opportunities to do what you do. And so in verse 25, it says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Now, why did Barnabas go to Tarsus instead of going back to Jerusalem and getting some of the other people who had been discipled for many years? Look at this slide. And if you can see my cursor, okay, there's two Antiochs. This one up here and this one down here. This Antioch is where Barnabas and the church at Antioch was. If Barnabas wanted to go to Jerusalem, he would have to go all the way down here, about a 400-mile journey. So in Antioch, he went to Tarsus, just around the corner of the Mediterranean. It's 100 miles. And so Barnabas, he makes the effort to go 100 miles to find Saul. And he knew Saul would be there, Paul would be there. And so the point is, he sought out someone to mentor. He made the effort to find someone. And I encourage you, as we talk about discipleship, don't think, I don't have time, I don't know what to do. We want to help you. You just have to be willing to take on a disciplee. Now, what's interesting is 7 to 9 years have passed since Saul went home to Tarsus. Saul was a nobody, and he really had done nothing. Isn't that amazing? He had not reached, or even he wasn't even aware of his potential. You know, people need a chance to discover their potential. You imagine if Michael Jordan had never played basketball, he would have not be Michael Jordan, you know, one of the greatest basketball players. You imagine if Tiger Woods, if his father had never put a golf club in his hand, instead put him a fishing rod in his hand, then he'd be like me, not making any money off fishing. But here he makes millions. People need a chance to reach their potential. So Barnabas presented the opportunity to Paul. Paul, I need help. Won't you come to Antioch? It says a lot about Paul. In order for a disciple to benefit from having a disciple, or you have to be humble and you have to be willing to learn. So the first thing you have to do is seek out someone to encourage. Do you know someone? If you don't, our group led by Valene knows of some people. So let's talk. The second thing we need to do is we need to spend time encouraging, training, and building them up. We need to spend time. This is a key with discipleship. Encouraging, training, and building them up. Now, many of us, when we're growing up in ministry, and when I went to pastoral ministry, I was taught by the sink or swim method. Most of us were taught by the sink or swim method. The sink or swim method is like when you want to learn how to swim, and your brother is going to teach you, he simply throws you into the deep end, and he says, start swimming, cup your hands, and you try so hard, you learn how to swim. On the other hand, if you don't learn how to swim, you just sink to the bottom. I remember when I told Nathan Pillow that I was going to, God called me into ministry. He goes, that's great. You just need opportunity to preach. And then he calls me a week later and says, I want you to go to the First Baptist Church at Catalina, at the Catalina Mountain foothills. And you go this Sunday and you preach their morning sermon and their evening sermon. I'm like, okay, so what do I do? He goes, just go and preach. You know, he didn't show me how to write a sermon. He didn't give me any points. He didn't look over my sermon. He said, just go and do it. And so I went and I did it. And actually that works for me for some reason. But guess what? It's far easier and more effective to use God's shortcut. God's shortcut is discipleship. You know, get a mentor who'll spend time encouraging you, training you, and building you up. I mean, this is really the role of a mentor. The mentor encourages you by saying, you can do it. And then he'll show you, he'll say, this is how you do it, and show you. And then it's like, now go and do it. So once in a while, in my small group, I let other people teach. Once in a while, in my small group, I let people do devotions. I want them to have a chance to see what their potential is. Then we see in verse 26, so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, it's interesting that the word Christian, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word Christian was used by Gentiles and non-believers as an insult. They would see a Christian and say, oh, look at that Christian. And what they meant was, hey, look at that loser. But the word Christian meant party of Christ or belonging to Christ or little Christ. And it was meant as an insult, but the Christians like, we love that word. And they embraced it. And so after 7 to 9 years of obscurity, Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch. Antioch represented a great opportunity for Saul. There, Barnabas trained him and worked with him for 1 year. Now, when we think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, we think of these points. The Apostle Paul is known for planting churches throughout the Roman Empire, going through at least three missionary journeys. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books. The Apostle Paul led a great number of people to Christ. The Apostle Paul displayed God's authority with amazing signs and wonders. That's the Apostle Paul, but the Saul of Tarsus did not do any of these things. The Saul of Tarsus did not even know his potential. Saul's methodology to preach the gospel was to confront and to debate. All right? When he confronted and debated with people, it just made him want to kill him. Okay? And I imagine that Barnabas, when he met Saul, he goes, come to Antioch with me and let me show you a better way, Saul. You know, Saul, how every time you confront and debate, people want to kill you. Let's try a gentler approach. He needed someone to show him a better way. So instead of telling people what to do, Saul needed to learn to take the time to teach people. Instead of lecturing people, he needed to take the time to love people. Instead of being obsessive compulsive towards people, he needed to be compassionate towards people. Saul had to learn, and we all have to learn, that you have to truly care about people before they will care about God's word. So we need to spend time encouraging, building, and training people. Then the third thing we need to see is that we need to let them excel even if they surpass you. We need to let our disciplee or a mentee grow and let them grow as big and as strong in the faith as God wants them to be. Now, my parents, Faye and Mary Wong, my father's turning 96, my mom's turning 93 this summer, and they have very little education. They worked in this grocery store. Canyon State was their first grocery store. This other picture is Mayfair Market in Glendale. They worked with their hands, but they wanted more for their children. They wanted to have everything. So they sent us to school. They sent us to college. All four of us graduated with college degrees in either teaching or accounting. We all ended up with professional careers. And they wanted us to excel past them. They wanted us to be more. They sacrificed and encouraged us. And it's interesting, I talked to a man who said his father didn't want him to surpass him, and so he criticized him and held him back, and that really affected this person severely. Mentors must be willing to let their disciples become more, to discover their God-given potential, to fulfill all that God calls them to be. And so for the first year, these two men, Barnabas and Saul, worked side by side. And up to this point, we see that every reference in the book of Acts up to this point was Barnabas and Saul. So verse 2, when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to. But over time, as they traveled and preached, Saul became more powerful. Saul became the more dominant speaker. Barnabas at first was a clear leader, but now Saul was referred to as Paul. And so in this verse, we see Barnabas and Saul. It's repeated several times in the book of Acts. But then Acts 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Saul emerged as a more powerful speaker, and Barnabas' position actually lessened. So the order of their names was changed. You got to remember, Luke wrote both of these passages, and Luke is very precise, and he's showing that Paul became the dominant speaker. It's interesting that many pastors are threatened by their associate pastors. Many pastors are threatened by outside speakers because it feels that it will diminish their place or make them look bad. See, Antioch could have become Barnabas's church. I mean, it could have been the first mega church. I mean, the huge, big church. I know when I'm in seminary talking to these young pastors-to-be, I know many of them want to be mega church pastors. You know, that's the dream. We get to do God's church, but we can grow a mega church. Barnabas could have had the first mega church, but instead, he listened to God. He listened to the needs of the people. He was not afraid to bring Paul into the ministry. He let Paul grow past him. See, we need to let people get in the driver's seat, get behind the wheel, and drive. And we need to understand that maybe they might drive better than you and me. So the question is, will you become prideful and hold people back? Will you become prideful and jealous and embarrassed and hold people back? Or will you become proud of your disciple Lee or your mentee and cheer them on? See, if you want to be a mentor, if you want to disciple people, you need to be proud of those you disciple, and you need to become their biggest cheerleader. You need to let them grow. There's nothing better than seeing people that I've ministered to and loved and encouraged and seeing them become everything God wants them to be. I've always told the Lord, if God wants someone else to pastor this church or he brings someone else in, I want to see that clearly and I want to step aside. See, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about that person I'm discipling. It's about doing the will of God. And God calls everyone to give and serve and encourage other people to reach their God-given potential. Because when they reach their potential, they are glorifying God. So I ask you, do you want to disciple people? Do you want to be a mentor? Are you looking around? Scripture says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You want to disciple people, you want to be a mentor, you cannot be selfish, you cannot be conceited, you need to be humble. And if you think you need work in that area, I think you should be a discipler, because that helps us learn how to get those priorities in order. Why do I like Barnabas? He saw the best in people, and he wanted to help them bring it out. He wanted to help them develop their potential. He put his trust in people, and he believed in them when no one else would. He gave them opportunities to succeed. It doesn't take a superpower or a spiritual gift. You just have to be willing to believe in people and encourage them and give them a chance to succeed. As we know, because Barnabas mentored and discipled Paul, Paul went on to become that great apostle we know, the missionary who planted churches throughout the Roman Empire and wrote the letters of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, 14 letters that strengthen the church today. I didn't have time to get into his other disciplee, who was John Mark. John Mark tried to be a missionary and failed, and so Barnabas gave him a second chance. John Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark. An ordinary man did extraordinary things by simply being faithful to God and making disciples. That is the power of God's word. That is the power of the gospel. This coming Saturday, we're having a discipleship information session on Zoom. If you're interested in becoming a discipler, or a disciple, or mentor, or mentee, contact Valene at the email at the bottom, and she'll put you on the Zoom email list. You know, brothers and sisters, in order to become a disciple, or a disciple, you need to be a disciple. You need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I invite you today, if you have not made your decision about Christ today, remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. And in order to follow him, to be his disciple, you need to commit your life and will to his care and control. So if you'd like to trust in Jesus today, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's son who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I want to follow you all the way to heaven. Come into my life and forgive me my sins. I believe in you. Brothers and sisters, if you want to do more, become a disciple or a mentor, write down this email in Contact Valley. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for an opportunity to learn about Barnabas and how we see that he was not an extraordinary person. He was an ordinary person. He had no superpowers or spiritual gift. He was simply an encourager. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters here today will choose to become encouragers, that they give strength and courage to others by becoming their mentors or disciplers. Father, we just pray for those who want help, who want to grow in Christ, that they will look to you and participate in this program, Lord. Just bless this ministry that honor you. And I pray, Father, there's someone here today who does not know you as their Savior and Lord, that they will finally make the commitment and decision to trust in you as their Savior and Lord. Father, we just worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Approach. He needed someone to show him a better way. So instead of telling people what to do, Saul needed to learn to take the time to teach people. Instead of lecturing people, he needed to take the time to love people. Instead of being obsessive compulsive towards people, he needed to be compassionate towards people. Saul had to learn, and we all have to learn, that you have to truly care about people before they will care about God's word. So we need to spend time encouraging, building, and training people. Then the third thing we need to see is that we need to let them excel, even if they surpass you. We need to let our disciplee or a mentee grow and let them grow as big and as strong in the faith as God wants them to be. Now my parents, Faye and Mary Wong, my father's turning 96, my mom's turning 93 this summer, and they have very little education. They worked in this grocery store. Canyon State was their first grocery store. This other picture is Mayfair Market in Glendale. They worked with their hands, but they wanted more for their children. They wanted to have everything. So they sent us to school. They sent us to college. All four of us graduated with college degrees in either teaching or accounting. We all ended up with professional careers, and they wanted us to excel past them. They wanted us to be more. They sacrificed and encouraged us. And it's interesting, I talked to a man who said his father didn't want him to surpass him, and so he criticized him and held him back, and that really affected this person severely. Mentors must be willing to let their disciples become more, to discover their God-given potential, to fulfill all that God calls them to be. And so for the first year, these two men, Barnabas and Saul, worked side by side. And up to this point, we see that every reference in the book of Acts up to this point was Barnabas and Saul. So verse 2, when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to. But over time, as they traveled and preached, Saul became more powerful. Saul became the more dominant speaker. Barnabas at first was a clear leader, but now Saul was referred to as Paul. And so in this verse, we see Barnabas and Saul. It's repeated several times in the book of Acts. But then Acts 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Saul emerged as a more powerful speaker, and Barnabas' position actually lesson. So the order of their names was changed. You got to remember, Luke wrote both of these passages, and Luke is very precise, and he's showing that Paul became the dominant speaker. It's interesting that many pastors are threatened by their associate pastors. Many pastors are threatened by outside speakers because it feels that it will diminish their place or make them look bad. See, Antioch could have become Barnabas's church. I mean, it could have been the first mega church. I mean, the huge, big church. I know when I'm in seminary talking to these young pastors to be, I know many of them want to be mega church pastors. You know, that's the dream. We get to do God's church, but we can grow a mega church. Barnabas could have had the first mega church, but instead, he listened to God. He listened to the needs of the people. He was not afraid to bring Paul into the ministry. He let Paul grow past him. See, we need to let people get in the driver's seat, get behind the wheel, and drive. And we need to understand that maybe they might drive better than you and me. So the question is, will you become prideful and hold people back? Will you become prideful and jealous and embarrassed and hold people back? Or will you become proud of your discipleee or your mentee and cheer them on? See, if you want to be a mentor, if you want to disciple people, you need to be proud of those you disciple, and you need to become their biggest cheerleader. You need to let them grow. There's nothing better than seeing people that I've ministered to and loved and encouraged and seeing them become everything God wants them to be. I've always told the Lord, if God wants someone else to pastor this church or he brings someone else in, I want to see that clearly and I want to step aside. See, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about that person I'm discipling. It's about doing the will of God. And God calls everyone to give and serve and encourage other people to reach their God-given potential. Because when they reach their potential, they are glorifying God. So I ask you, do you want to disciple people? Do you want to be a mentor? Are you looking around? Scripture says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You want to disciple people, you want to be a mentor, you cannot be selfish, cannot be conceited, you need to be humble. And if you think you need work in that area, I think you should be a discipler, because that helps us learn how to get those priorities in order. Why do I like Barnabas? He saw the best in people, and he wanted to help them bring it out. He wanted to help them develop their potential. He put his trust in people, and he believed in them when no one else would. He gave them opportunities to succeed. It doesn't take a superpower or a spiritual gift. You just have to be willing to believe in people and encourage them and give them a chance to succeed. As we know, because Barnabas mentored and discipled Paul, Paul went on to become that great apostle we know, the missionary who planted churches throughout the Roman Empire and wrote the letters of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, 14 letters that strengthen the church today. I didn't have time to get into his other disciplee, who was John Mark. John Mark tried to be a missionary and failed, and so Barnabas gave him a second chance. John Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark. An ordinary man did extraordinary things by simply being faithful to God and making disciples. That is the power of God's word. That is the power of the gospel. This coming Saturday, we're having a discipleship information session on Zoom. If you're interested in becoming a discipler or a disciple or mentor or mentee, contact Valene at the email at the bottom, and she'll put you on the Zoom email list. You know, brothers and sisters, in order to become a disciple or a disciple, you need to be a disciple. You need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I invite you today, if you have not made your decision about Christ today, remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. And in order to follow him, to be his disciple, you need to commit your life and will to his care and control. So if you'd like to trust in Jesus today, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's son who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I want to follow you all the way to heaven. Come into my life and forgive me my sins. I believe in you. Brothers and sisters, if you want to do more, become a disciple or a mentor, write down this email in Contact Valley. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for an opportunity to learn about Barnabas and how we see that he was not an extraordinary person. He was an ordinary person. He had no superpowers or spiritual gift. He was simply an encourager. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters here today will choose to become encouragers, that they give strength and courage to others by becoming their mentors or disciplers. Father, we just pray for those who want help, who want to grow in Christ, that they will look to you and participate in this program, Lord. Just bless this ministry that honor you. And I pray, Father, there's someone here today who does not know you as their Savior and Lord, that they will finally make the commitment and decision to trust in you as their Savior and Lord. Father, we just worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.